Lonely, I'm so lonely. Hey, what is going on? Welcome to this 10th episode of the Top of the Dude Chain podcast. I am Josh, the only dude to appear consecutively on all 10 Dude Chain episodes. Coming to you again solo, rambling about whatever comes into this big cement head of mine, spouting my opinion, spouting my view. And I thank you, loyal listener or newcomer or traveler, passerby through the internet, for taking these few moments to listen. I am here on a cold December evening. Nothing pressing. So we're just gonna wing it here and see what comes out. Maybe some gold, maybe some garbage. But regardless of what it is, I'm gonna stamp my name on it proudly and stand by this product. No one to blame on myself if anything goes awry. I am, if you're listening to this, hope everyone is having a happy new year. 2018 is upon us. And, you know, new years are always, I mean, if you really think of, let's really, really think about the new year, January 1st. In all actuality, the only thing that changes is there's a 4 to 6 week grace period at the beginning of the year where you're scratching out 17 and putting 18. Of course, the 7 is easily converted to an 8, so a lot less scratching and a lot more awkward looking 8s this year, but in reality, that's really the only thing that changes. I guess you could say my benefits for work start anew. So I got to pay come January 1st. I have to start paying my deductible all over again. And this year was a rough year. This year I think my wife and I actually met our deductible, which I don't think has happened before. And if it has, it was possibly when I tore my Achilles tendon a few years ago. When I say a few, I mean, we're coming up on 10 years now. But other than that, don't think we've ever reached our deductible until this year. And now here we are, January 1. I get to start all over again. But in other than that, I mean, what changes? Go back to the same job. Kids go back to the same grade. And that's about it. Taxes. Your taxes start all over again. Hopefully you're in a lower tax bracket with everything that's happened in Washington here recently. But in reality, January 1st is just another day that you get off. Just another holiday of the year. First holiday of the year, but just another holiday. Then we all go back to the rat race. We all push forward, and that's it. Big time resolution season. Everyone thinks the beginning of the new year, 2018, is when I'm going to start doing blank. You know, I think it's good. It's good that that people kind of use the new year to try and better themselves. In reality, you don't really need the new year to do it, but I think it's good that it kind of gives it. It's a starting line, I guess you could say, of sorts. It's kind of a line in the sand. This is where it begins, and I'm going to look back December 31st, 2018, see where I'm at in comparison to January 1st, 2018, and hopefully I can look back and say, since that time, I am something. I'm in better shape. I've saved up a little money. I'm nicer. I'm more successful at my job. I'm a better coworker. I'm a better spouse. I'm a better friend. Whatever the case is, whatever you resolve yourself to change, it's always our goal to end up at the end of the year, December 31st, a little better at that thing we resolved to set out to be better than. A lot of people are successful, a lot of people are not. I know one thing, as a consistent gym goer, and it's honestly, it's started now. And here's the thing. I think Thanksgiving, maybe a little before, maybe a little after Thanksgiving, you start to see an influx of people to the gym. And you're not fooling anybody, people. We all know you're just getting a head start on something that you're really just kind of hoping you would start in January. We call them, in the biz, tourists. Tourist is a person you have never seen at the gym before. And it's not meant as a derogatory thing. We are all tourists at one point. If you go to the gym, and I'm talking gym just because that's what comes into my head, that's probably the most resolved thing every year is gym memberships. I know it's a huge time of year for people who sell gym memberships or who sell supplements or personal trainers or whatever the case is. January 1st is probably the Black Friday of the gym world for people who are in that industry. And to that, I say, good on you guys. I think it's great. Anyone who goes out and joins a gym January 1st, good for you. It's never too late to start thinking, well, I scratched that. There are times where it is too late to start thinking about your health. And that's when you have neglected it for so long that you die. But other than that, thinking about your health is never too late. There is a lady in Wichita Falls, Texas. And you can Google it or YouTube it. She's out there. It's where I saw it. Wichita Falls, Texas. There's a gym there. This old lady, 91 years old, and I use old just as a descriptive term, but this elderly lady, 91 years old, was talking to the owner of this gym, and she, in her conversation, basically mentioned that she had fallen again. And because she had fallen again, She wasn't able to get out and do certain things that she wanted to do. So the owner of this gym said, look, I'm going to come pick you up every day, and you're going to work out on my gym. And she was like, okay, sounds good. Let's do it. So he brought her to the gym every day, and he trained her for an hour every day. 91-year-old woman. And I believe in 3 months, this woman was able to put her walker in the closet because she was able to walk on her own with something that she didn't have, she wasn't able to do, able to do it all. Threw her walker away, and at the time of this video, and I don't know any of where she is now, but at the time of this video, her work, consistent work at the gym, she was able to do a full-on squat, holding, I believe, a 10-pound weight in front of her, which for a 91-year-old woman is very impressive. Very impressive. Her quality of life has increased. She's able to do a lot of things that she wasn't able to do before because she has a stronger body, all things considered, and it's good. So it's never, ever, ever too late to resolve to do that kind of thing. The unfortunate thing is that you're going to see a lot of gym memberships purchased in January. You're going to see a lot of people with new workout clothes and gym bags and that gleam in their eye showing up to the gym, squatting on the Smith machines, putting the sissy pad on the bar as they squat, doing a ton of curls and tricep pushdowns. And then come February, March, you won't see those people ever again. I believe the statistic, if I remember correctly, I believe Planet Fitness is the one that they looked over, and it's more of a financial thing than kind of a resolution thing, but I believe at Planet Fitness, which is a chain of gyms around the country, for every one person you see working out at Planet Fitness, which, by the way, if you honestly, my personal opinion, I know they're $10 a month, and I get it, and I would say it's probably better than nothing. But if you can go to any other gym besides Planet Fitness, that would be my personal recommendation. Anyway, every one person you see working at Planet Fitness, there are 9 people at home paying for a gym membership but not using it. So if you walk into a Planet Fitness today, at this time, right now, and there is one person working out there for 1 hour, Planet Fitness is making $100 for that hour for that person, paid for by 9 other people. And that's New Year's resolution. That's what it is. And I know you probably think I'm being a little critical, and I probably am. And I'm probably being, dare I say, a little mean. But my thing is if you're not going to stick to it, don't start in the first place. Save yourself some money and don't crowd the gym, man. Honestly. To the gym owners out there, I apologize. You take their money as much as you want, do whatever you like. But my advice is, if you're not going to stick to it, it's probably not worth your investment. Here's the thing. You don't even need a gym membership. Honestly. If your goal isn't to really move up in weight, your goal is to be able to be functional, There's a slew of things you can do at your house. I personally like the getting up and going to the gym routine. It's just something that helps me clear my head and I guess gives me a little satisfaction. But in all reality, a lot of body weight stuff, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, squats, lunges, step-ups, a ton of things you can do at your house without any equipment. And then you can even get even more involved by buying just a few simple pieces of equipment like bands and pull-up bars, and that's about it. Maybe a dumbbell or kettlebell or two. And you could honestly get in great shape without ever stepping foot into a gym at all. And so my recommendation for all you resolutioners out there for in this particular area is give yourself 2 months to get up and do a consistent body weight workout. And if you can consistently stick to it for 8 to 10 weeks, maybe 12 weeks, 2 to 3 months, and you want to progress, then go get that gym membership and get better. Absolutely. You're still a tourist, but here's the thing. Everybody at one time in their gym or lifting career is a tourist. Sometimes more than once. I know myself, I've been at my gym now, I think it'll be 2 years in February. I was at the gym before that for 3 years. Gym before that for a couple years, gym before that for 2 or 3 years. So, point being is every time you join a new gym, you're technically a tourist. A tourist is basically somebody that you've never seen there before. And anytime you see somebody that you haven't seen before, particularly in the month of January, and that's why it's called tourist season as far as gym goers go, but typically a tourist is someone you've never seen before. They come in, you see them for a month, and then you never see them again. And that's where the phrase tourist kind of derives from. It's like tourists that visit. Oh, y'all get it. Y'all aren't stupid. You're listening to this intellectual podcast called Top of the Dew Chain. I personally find the word dude highly underrated. Very, very versatile word. And takes a lot of talent to put in the correct places. But anyway, back to the tourist thing. So that's why they're called tourists. Everyone's a tourist. To be honest with you, just accept the fact you're going to be a tourist for a while. You get out of that tourist nickname or genre of people by consistently going. That's it. If you start at a new gym or you get a new gym membership and come, I would say the summer, possibly early fall, you've been consistent, you lose that tourist status. The idea is someone who comes in and you're like, all right, man, I recognize that guy. You possibly pull in and you see their car and you know exactly who's in the gym by the cars that they see, and they see your car and they're like, okay, that big goofy dude's here, or the little scrawny guy who quarter squats and doesn't go all the way down, has no clue what full range of motion is, but he's here. So that's kind of how it is. There's this one guy. I've been to 4 gyms in probably the last 10 years. 2 of them I had to leave because they closed down. And so they no longer were in business, so I had to find a new gym. One of them was a regional chain that really wasn't too bad, but I just needed something to be a little more challenging. Not even a little more challenging. That's kind of stupid to say. I'm a big fan of like grungy gyms. I don't like the 45. I don't like the weight, the plates to all be the same. I don't like dumbbells to have the company name in them. Personally, I mean, there are gyms out there that have it that are great gyms. But there are a few pieces of equipment that I look for. And if this gym has it, it goes up. If they don't have it, it goes down. I personally like gyms that have more weight machines than they do cardio machines. And that's kind of how I approach it. But that's that. If you are going to get that gym membership and you do want to kind of ease through the Taurus phase of your year, the only thing you really need to do outside of being consistent is practice gym etiquette, man. Practice gym etiquette. What is gym etiquette? Gym etiquette is simply being mindful of your surroundings and that's it. Being respectful. Don't stand in front of people. But, you know, everyone thinks that the mirrors at the gym are for vanity purposes, so people can look at themselves, and there's a little truth to that. But the main reason for having a gym mirror is form, is so you can watch your form as you go, and adjust it however you need to adjust it. And so if somebody is doing an exercise where it's obvious, now if they're on the opposite side of the gym and they're just a speck, but I would say there's probably a 20 foot, maybe 15 feet, 15 to 20 feet gray zone, if you will. So take the mirror, go back 15 to 20 feet. And if somebody's doing something and they're looking in the mirror in that range, don't stand in front of them because they're using the mirror for a purpose. Don't curl. My biggest pet peeve is a squat rack, man. My word of advice is if there's any exercise that you're thinking about doing in the squat rack that you can do anywhere else in the gym, and it's crowded. Now, if you're there by yourself, by all means, do whatever you want in the squat rack. But if there's anything you could be doing in the gym outside of the squat, if there's whatever you think you need to do in the squat rack, if you can do it anywhere else in the gym, go do it over there. I cannot stand needing the squat rack for something, and it's not just squats. You can do all types of pin pulls, pin presses, any type of anything, any kind of standing press where you need to have the bar elevated a certain height. Good mornings, certain types of deadlifts, whatever the case is, shrugs, whatever it is. So you could do all types of things. I wouldn't recommend curling in it even if no one else is using it, man. Curl somewhere else, man. That'll get people hot if you curl in the squat rack. But my advice is if you can do anything outside of the squat rack, do it, try and do it outside the squat rack before you use the squat rack to do it. Because that's just, it's a, not a lot of people squat. You should be squatting. They say that longevity of life is directly correlated to people with strong legs. In other words, the stronger your legs are, the longer people live. And it makes sense. You're falling less. The stronger your legs are, you have better balance. So falling and breaking your hip. And breaking your hip's not going to necessarily kill you in the sense of the actual injury, but it is going to put you in bed or out of commission for a while. And during that time, you still have to eat and you still have to do other things. And so without getting that type of exercise, it kind of hurts. And so that's part of it. But you are, if you are able to walk other, you know, walk places and do things, cardiovascular wise, it just helps, you know, blood pump through you, helps things work out. And so, so I highly recommend squatting, but, there are people who want to squat or need to squat, or they want to do something that required that can be done nowhere else but the squat rack. And trust me, you are irritating them. You are getting on their nerves. You are frustrating them. They have ill intentions towards you if you are doing leg ups in the squat rack and they have to sit there and wait for you to do it. They're getting extremely angry when there's a pull up bar on the cable machines, yet you're over there doing pull-ups in the squat rack. They are getting extremely angry with you when you're doing your shrugs in the squat rack, when you can very easily walk over to a deadlift platform or a bench or even just put a barbell on the floor and pick it up and start doing it. So that'd be my advice. Anything you can do in the squat rack, but you could do somewhere else, try and do it somewhere else before you do in the squat rack. Again, that's at a gym where, you know, it's some, there are people, other people there. If you're the only one yourself, do whatever you want, man. Good on you. And some gyms have a ton of power racks where you can squat, do whatever, and that's what they're there for. They're there to pull a bench into it or they're there to do pull-ups on because that's how they do it. Then by all means, man, go for it. Just be cognizant of the fact that someone may want to squat, and if you're keeping them from squatting, then just be cool, man, and try and accommodate them as much as possible. Wipe your equipment down when you're done using it. No one wants to lay in your sweat. What else? Try and stick to exercises you know. And I personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking anybody. Most people aren't going to tell you what to do. But they're more than helpful to ask. I think that's a misconception about the gym is that people are there. I know I don't mind helping people out. I don't want to sit there and talk either though. So, there are a few people that I will talk to that are buddies of mine. And I understand you have to get to that point, so you have to break the ice. But during the workouts, like The Rock, The Rock always makes a point that when he goes to the gym, you've got 10 minutes as he walks in and 10 minutes as he walks out to talk to him. But during the workout itself, he says leave him alone. That's kind of the impression everyone has. But if you have a question, nothing wrong with just kind of asking a few questions. Because they are more willing to help because they understand what it's like to be new in the gym. They understand what it's like to have to learn that stuff. So they're more than happy to help. But again, it's going to be a quick, this is how you do it or this is how you don't do it. And that's it. just kind of be conscious of it. Start off with lower weights that you can handle. Don't embarrass yourself by going big and then failing. But again, man, just be a cool dude or dudette. Going with confidence, but going with respect and humility, and you'll be fine. And again, you'll knock that tourist name tag off of you pretty quick, and everything will be great. That's it, man. That's New Year's resolution at the gym 101. But I highly recommend it. If you're looking to get a beach body, you're looking to burn fat, and look the way you want, you need resistance training. You need resistance training probably more. You need a good diet and a good resistance training plan more so than you need cardio. A lot of people say, well, I want to do cardio and then maybe I'll get into the weights. You're actually better off getting into the weights and then introducing some cardio later on, because you're going to get more from the weights. And there's a whole slew of reasons for that I won't go into. You can research that yourself. But that's it. One thing I will say, though, is do research on supplements before you buy them. There are a lot of the new snake oil salesmen these days are supplements. People who push supplements. There are good ones out there. Not saying there aren't. But 90% of them are not good. 90% of them are Johnny come lately looking to make a quick buck on naive, uneducated, uninformed people. I probably take too simple of approach when it comes to supplements, but I would take my approach over the guy who takes 500 things that he's, you know, wasting his money on. I would say of all the people I know personally that push supplements, I'd say one or two of them tops are stand-up individuals. The rest of them, I wouldn't buy supplements from them just because of them. But we can get into that later on as we go throughout. What else is going on? Joel Embiid, man. He's probably one of my, I'm trying to think of anyone else out there. I mean, I like Durant and I like Westbrook. But I think Joel Embiid is becoming, I like Kawhi Leonard. I would say Joel Embiid's probably coming in number two behind Kawhi Leonard as far as one of my favorite players, man. The guy is great. He's a good player for one, but he's great on the trash talk and he's great on the social media trash talking. I like it. And so that's pretty cool. The new Nike My City uniforms, I like them, man. I like a lot of them. I'm not so sure about the Spurs. Really like the Knicks. Really like Philadelphia's. Lakers got a nice one. If you get a chance, Google Nike My City uniforms NBA. And you'll get a whole list of them. But the Knicks are very clean. Phillies are very clean. The Lakers are very clean. A lot of Milwaukee Bucks stick in my head. Miami Heat's got this old, like, Miami Vice look to them, which is, I mean, just great. If it was still cool for someone like me to wear jerseys, I would possibly buy these jerseys, because they are slick. But I do have an issue. Like I said, San Antonio's is a little, but it's not bad. But the Thunder jersey, I don't know, man. It just seems to me like the graphic design department gave Oklahoma City's jersey to the intern, man. Like the boss's son. You know what I mean? Like the guy who's like, yeah, I just think I'm going to take this gray, throw a couple lines on there. Okay, see, there you go, man. Thunder, we're done. That dude was done first, man. I guarantee the guy who did the Thunder jersey finished his project first. I guarantee he didn't ask anybody what they thought of it. I guarantee he didn't care what anyone thought of it. But like I said, man, it's not just a hideous jersey. But it just looks like no one put any effort into it. It looks very, I mean, I almost feel, and I hate to be that guy, but I kind of feel like I could have done that. With my limited knowledge of graphic design and my very elementary level artistic ability, feel that I could have designed that Oklahoma City uniform. Like I said, the boss's son probably got it. That guy slapped together a few uniforms, a little bit this, a little bit of that, turned it in, and then probably went surfing or went and played video games for the rest of the day. Because it's not ugly, man. It's just unimpressive. Like I said, you look at Philadelphia's. Now, it's not the simplicity of it. It's the fact that you look at Philadelphia's. Philadelphia's looks like somebody put a lot of time and effort into thinking about what this product should look like. It's very simple. It's very classy. It's very elegant. It's very very well done. Nothing flashy. But you can tell somebody put a little bit of time into the thought and they said, okay, this is the script I'm going to write. These are the colors I'm going to use. This is where I'm going to place these things. And it came out great. Memphis is a very basic one too, but you could tell someone put a lot of time in putting it together. Like I said, man, someone put a lot of time into the thought process of the New York Knicks. And the Miami Heat ones look. I'm not even a Miami fan, but I'm considering going and buying a Miami Heat T-shirt from this series, simply because I think they look good, man. Them and the Knicks in Philadelphia did a great job, Whoever designed those things, you sir or you ma'am, deserve a promotion because you did very well. The rest of you, look up to these guys. Oklahoma City, you're fired. That's kind of be the conversation that I had with my people if I was at Nike. But, super pumped to look at them as they play. And that's it. That's it. Check them out, though, and make your own opinion. But like I said, I just think you could have done a lot with the Oklahoma City one, and I just think I just think you got let down, Oklahoma City Thunder fans. You got let down. Speaking of letting me down, Texas Longhorns won their bowl game yesterday. So as far as bowl games go, one of the first times in a long time that they haven't let me down in the bowl game. Played well. I enjoyed it. Biggest news story to come out of it, though, is the head coach of Texas, Mr. Tom Herman, mocking the quarterback of Mizzou at the end of the game when the game is sealed 33-16. Mizzou has no answer. They just don't have the ability, nor do they have the time to even try and mount a respectable comeback at this point in the game. And he mocked the quarterback with what he was saying. Or with his actions, actually, and the team was. And everyone, and props to the players. I don't know about the coaching staff, but props to the players that they talked to in on the Missouri team. I'll give them credit. Because they didn't take the classless approach that a lot of the fans, a lot of the media, and so forth are taking. But they're criticizing Mr. Herman for what he did. And then you read it and you read articles, and then as anything in life, the real story comes out, and you start to kind of see why it was being done. It wasn't just an unprovoked act. There's a lot of trash talking in the luncheons leading up to the bowl game, a lot of trash talking being done as the bowl game approached, after it was determined that they would play each other in the bowl game. A lot of trash talking was being spoken. And so what he did was a culmination of all that stuff. I have no problem with it. My thing is you kind of open yourself up. If you're going to, if anywhere in the game, now if you're winning the game and you throw the horns down, I don't have a problem with it. A lot of people get angry because, you know, people throw the horns down. My thing is like, if you don't want them to throw the horns down, go out and hang 80 on them. You know what I mean? Go out and play respectably, beat them. They're not going to throw the horns down. And if they do, they look foolish doing it. But if you're going to throw it down in any type of PR opportunity, the luncheons or news conferences or whatever, and you're being asked questions, and you take those opportunities to throw the horns down before the game to the camera, walk in the sideline, the 50-yard line, because in warm-ups in a college football game, well, any football game, really, any type of, like, real football game, teams come out, and you got the 50-yard line, and each team has their half of the field to warm up on. Typically what happens is you place people at the 45-yard line with their back to it, and you kind of operate from the 40 or 35-yard line to the end zone, kind of put a little space between you. And that's how it was all the way through through high school. And I remember specifically my first game in college. We had guys, and they had guys, the other team had guys, walk into the 50-yard line. So the only thing between them is this 4-inch piece of paint on the field, talking trash. Okay, and trash talk is not new to me in football by this time. What's new to me is I've got half my team over there talking trash to these guys, and the coaches are just sitting there listening to it, kind of laughing about it. But it happens. And for 4 years, man, and there would be little skirmishes, you know, kind of break up, and the coach would, as long as nothing got physical. But once it started to get too loud, then that's when the coaches and the refs started, you know, breaking it up. But trash talking is just part of the sport. But there are times when it probably shouldn't be done, and that's when you're in a luncheon with a bunch of, with the other team and their fans and their boosters and their coaches and their staff and all that. There probably should be a little bit of respect. And there's some jabs taken during that, from what I understand. And I could be wrong, but from what I understand, Texas was respectful during their part, their times to talk. Mizzou probably came in yapping a little bit more than they should. And then they put that terrible product they put out on the field. And it came back to bite them. And like I said, I have no problem with it. Props to the Mizzou guys who, when asked about it, basically said, look, I'm going to use it as a chip on my shoulder. I'm going to use it as a moment of humility. But basically, I really can't say anything because when you talk as much as we did and then you play the way we did, you got to expect it to come back at you, and that's what they did. I don't have a problem with it. So props to those guys, media, and the rest of you. Get over it. Like I said, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't really have a problem with anything Baker Mayfield did. You can ask anyone that knows me. I'm a huge Baker hater. But him planting the flag doesn't bother me. They kind of looked, I would say him grabbing himself in Kansas. I understand why he did it. I don't necessarily have an issue with him being angry and him saying whatever he said and doing whatever he said. Just that particular means of what he was doing probably shouldn't be done just because there are kids watching and all that. And you got to understand, man, the camera's going to be on you. You're a Heisman Trophy winner, man. The camera's going to be on you all the time. So just got to be cognizant of that. Him telling Baylor, I'm your daddy. These guys forgot who their daddy was. Okay. I've heard, we've all said the same type of thing. If you've played, a little bit in your day, you've made that reference before. Nothing wrong with that. I thought it was pretty funny when he asked the Kansas student section if they had a basketball game to go watch, which is kind of clever. I like that. But other than that, I really don't have an issue with anything he's done as far as that goes. I just think that's part of it. I don't think the team, players who are part of that, a football. I don't think any of the football players, it's the media and fans and probably somebody's mom who really doesn't understand what's going on. Probably has all the issues, but that for you, those of you out there, that's just part of the game. And trust me, man, and the players who are getting a little angry or hurt over it, they got some issues. But that's the great thing about sports is from that particular standpoint, you're usually on both ends of it at one point. If you've been playing sports long enough, you're on either end of that that point at least once or a few times actually. And so you kind of it's kind of good in the sense that you talk trash and then you actually back it up and it's cool. And you enjoy it, and it's fun. And then you're on the other end where you talk trash and you lose and you play terribly, and you kind of have to swallow your pride and understand that, that just comes with it. That's just one of the risks you take when you talk trash, is you very easily could have it thrown back at you. I personally, when I did it, particularly in the later years of my career, and I'm not by any means that accomplished at it, but I always let the game kind of get settled in, and I always kind of gauged how well I was doing against the person before I decided to talk trash or not. I remember when I was 18, we went and played a team. And everyone I was playing were like 22-year-old men. And let's be honest, man. There are the occasional freaks out there, but 99% of the time, a decent 22-year-old man will beat 99% of all the very good 18-year-old kids. That's just all there is to it. very rarely will you see a bunch of 18-year-old kids go out and just beat a bunch of 22-year-old. Man, there are problems you have when you're 22 years old that an 18-year-old kid could not possibly understand. He cannot go that dark and dig to the depths of despair as well as a 22-year-old man who has to pay bills and maybe even raise kids and provide for a wife and all that can do. And that Saturday's that one, that's 3 hours of escape for that kid or for that grown man, whereas in for that 18-year-old kid, it's 3 hours away from his video games. Yeah. And I remember this game, it was 22-year-old men that I was going against, and they just, you know, it was unfair, man. I got beat the entire game, and guess what? I didn't say a single word of trash talk that game. I simply tried to survive without dying that game. But there were other games where I would be beating a guy, and I would just, I remember one time I was talking trash to this kid, and he started agreeing with me. And it threw me off my game completely. I mean, I'm dead serious, man. I'm bashing this guy's mom. I'm joking, but anyway, I forgot what I did. I pancaked him or something, hit him hard or whatever. And I just said, it's going to be a long game for you, homie. And, probably said something like, you can call me daddy the rest of this game, because whatever. And the guy goes, I know, man, I know. And then he just basically said, I'm going to have a long game. This is going to suck for me. And completely floored me, man. I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know if he did it all. I don't know if he was being sincere and was really, that's how he really felt. Or if the man is just a trash-talking genius and he was trying to get in my head. But if that was the case, if this man was a trash-talking genius and his intent was to get in my head, well done, sir. Well done. You succeeded at your goal 100%. Because it got to the point, now I didn't let up on the guy, but I mean, it got to the point where I was kind of feeling bad for what I was doing. And I didn't talk trash the rest of the game to the guy. I mean, it completely took the trash talking aspect out of it. Not that I quit talking, there were other guys that I could talk to, but when it was this guy who I went, he was a defensive end and I was a tight end, so I probably was, I'd say 50-60% of all the offensive plays, I had to do something as far as block or whatever with him. Didn't say anything else to him the rest of the game for that reason. So congratulations, sir, whoever you are. Well done. Well played to that gentleman. But anyway, that's just it, man. It's one of those things where if you can't take it, man, don't dish it. That's the old adage. If you can't dish it, if you can't take it, don't dish it out. Don't dish it if you can't take it, whatever the saying is. I think that's all that this Longhorn or even this Baker Mayfield stuff is. And you look at it. You look at the Iowa State game after he said all that stuff to Baylor about being their daddy. They lost that game, and Iowa State let him know that they were his daddy. So that's just kind of how it is, and that's the great thing about sports, man, is ups and downs, goods and bads. You have a lot of humbling opportunities, and you have a lot of confident building opportunities. So highly recommend, if you have children, not to discourage them from playing sports, because a lot of good lessons in life can be learned from it, particularly team sports, but all sports, really. But have some sense to as kind of and an understanding of what you're doing and who you are. And you know what I mean? Like your 8-year-old kid doesn't need to be playing softball 300 days out of the year. You know what I mean? Or practicing or playing softball 300 days out of the year. Your eight-year-old kid doesn't need to be skipping funerals of grandparents or aunts and uncles or whoever for softball games or baseball games or basketball games. You know what I mean? You shouldn't. I personally don't think you as a parent should use the opportunity of your child playing well to talk trash to other people's parents. I don't think there should be that jealousy aspect of it. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting invested in your kids as far as sports go. I do think there's something wrong with vicariously living through your kids as far as those sports go. Help your kids learn the lessons from it. Be proud of them. Help them, be happy to watch them, enjoy watching them and all that. But understand at the end of the day, it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids playing these sports. Now, when the gentleman is able to drive a Bentley and live in a $2 million house and fly charter jets and wear expensive clothes because of the sport, then by all means, ridicule these cats all you want. You want to slam the dude for sucking because your fantasy football lost? I'm all for it. Got no sympathy for these guys when they're making that much money. You deserve every bit of ridicule you get. You deserve, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, all the praise you get. But you got to take the good with the bad. But when it comes to kids, 8-year-old kids, they're not Michael Jordan. They're not Kevin Durant. They're not Russell Westbrook. Therefore, those kids do not deserve the ridicule that you should be given men who are getting paid substantial amounts of money to make to do it. Nor do I think these young kids should sacrifice the things that these grown men are sacrificing. Nor do I think they should put in as much time as these grown men are putting in. Just my thought. Let a kid be a kid. Let them learn the lessons from it. And parents, try and take yourself out of it as much as you can. And also have a little appreciation for the coaches that are coaching them. My daughter and son both play sports. We've been very fortunate that they've been on some teams with some great coaches. And when I say great coaches, just genuine good dudes or ladies that have their best interest in mind, and it's obvious. And that's what my wife and I appreciate. From a technical standpoint, some coaches are definitely better than others. But as far as coaches go, there was one coach that we didn't like. And it wasn't because of the technical aspect of it. It was this person is, in life, in general, a rotten person. The people that she hangs out with in life are rotten people. And so our problem with her was we did not want that influence on my daughter. And so we pulled her off the team for that reason. She was a liar. She was unethical. She was crooked. Her team has been called out a couple times for very suspect. I'll just call that straight out cheating. So that's why we removed our daughter from it, from that particular team. But as far as that, other than that, our daughter has been very fortunate with the people that have coached her. And so if you are a parent, you do find someone who invests in your kid like that. I think it's natural just to have that appreciation for them. So cut them a little slack, parents, because most of them are doing it for free. They're doing it because they actually genuinely enjoy doing it. They enjoy being around your kids, which I can't always say for myself about mine. But they enjoy being around your kids. They enjoy investing the time. And like I said, they're doing it for free. Have a little compassion and leeway for those people. And the umpires, man. I know the umpires are getting paid, but at the same time, a lot of those umpires, man, really enjoy the kids too. And so it's unfortunate, man, but I enjoy watching my daughter play all these sports. It's unfortunate that the only time that I've ever disliked, watching her play is the parents. The adults, the people you expect to act like grown-ups, to be the mature ones, and they're the ones kind of ruining it for some people. So, wife and I try not to be that way. Now, I understand, you'll argue a call and all that, but threatening umpire. Dude, if you get kicked out of a Little League game, a kid's game, you're taking it a little too seriously, my friends. That's just all there is to it. If you're getting kicked out of it, if you're getting reputations around parks or gyms or fields or whatever, you probably need to relax a little bit. Take yourself a good old-fashioned chill pill and remind yourself that they're kids and they're doing it because they want to have fun. And if you're forcing them to do it when they're not having fun, shame on you. But anyway, that's it. I'm going to wrap this up. Everyone have a wonderful 2018. Looking forward to big things coming your way. I would highly recommend everything you do, if you're going to resolve to do anything, regardless of what it is, find something that is outside of your comfort zone and try to conquer and become comfortable with that. Whatever it is, if there is something that you are uncomfortable with, resolve that somehow. That would be my advice. My advice would be to research it. My advice would be to stick to it and make it a goal and 31st of December 2018 to be able to look back on what you resolved to do January 1st, 2018 at midnight. Make it a point to look back on it and say, I am now a better person because I chose to work on that area of my life. On that one weakness or that one shortcoming that I have, I am now a little bit better because I decided to address that thing. You guys are awesome. Check us out on the social media at DudeChain88. So if you go to Instagram in the search thing, put the at sign. I don't know what that's called. That's not the ampersand. Ampersand's the and. Shift 7, I believe. Shift 2 is what I'm talking about. You find it in a lot of your emails, the at. It's an A with a circle around it. I find that, personally, very fun to write. I really like writing that at sign. I like writing the at sign more than I like writing the ampersand. So I enjoy filling out my email and a lot of things. But type in shift 2, dude, D-U-D-E, chain, 88. That's 2 8s. Hit enter, and you'll see us come up on that Twitter, on that Facebook, on that Instagram. My resolve for 2018, for the Top of the Dude Chain podcast, because we're coming up on a veteran status of 10 episodes, guys. Veteran status of 10 episodes. But my goal for 2018 is A, to have guests. And here the thing is, Jeff and I and Mike, all three of us, know some very interesting people. Now, when I say interesting, they're not famous. They may not be the most well-known people, but they're interesting. And I think it's cool. So our goal is to have more guests. My goal is to have less of these sessions, me by myself. Hopefully Jeff and Mike get a freed up a little bit more, because I thoroughly do enjoy talking to them more so than I enjoy talking to myself, even though I always agree with myself most of the time. But I do enjoy when Mike and Jeff are on more so than these, as I'm sure you do too. So that's my goal. My goal is to have more guests, to have those guys on more often. And then we're going to get the website and the social media cracking a little more actively this coming year. You guys are awesome. Like I said, hope you had a happy and wonderful New Year's Eve. Hope your New Year's Day yesterday, if you're listening to this when it first comes out, is going well. Hope you decided to make yourself a better person in 2018. I wish you the best of luck and motivation and inspiration to stick to those resolutions. And I sincerely hope that at the end of this year, 2018, we're still putting these bad boys out. And we're just a little bit better than we were the podcast before. You guys are awesome. At DudeChain88 on all the social media. This is Josh soloing the last podcast of 2017. Top of the Dude Chain. I am out.